We're very happy for this opportunity to study from the Word of God again this morning, and we're continuing where we left off last Sunday morning. We're studying about the sons of Zeruiah, those three first cousins of David that we read about in the Scriptures, Abishai, Azahel, and Joab. And we looked at what the Scripture said about Abishai and Azahel last week, and those were mighty men, David's cousins, that that served under his reign. Now, Azahel actually died before David was anointed king over all the tribes of Israel, that is, by the Israelites themselves, as we know that God had anointed David first to be king over all Israel. But it took a while for the rest of the people to accept what God had ordained. And Azahel was killed by Abner, Saul's captain, during that 7-year period of civil war that existed between the house of Saul and the house of David, between Saul's death and before all Israel received and accepted David as being their king. And Abner, Saul's captain, had warned Azahel to not to pursue after him. He was described, or is described in the Scriptures, as being light of foot as a deer. He could run like a deer. And he ran right into the back end of Abner's spear that way. But he didn't listen to the warnings, and he died as a result. Now, one of the things that we read about Abishai last week was that he took part with his brother Joab in the murder of Abner, Saul's captain. Abner repented of helping the house of Saul to try to cling to the power of the kingdom. And then he sought in his final days with all of his heart to turn the people of Israel towards receiving David as their king. And the Lord used him, and he accomplished much in that effort. And he came and joined himself to David, and David received him. So David forgave those actions that Abner had taken for all those years in which he was supporting Saul and was with Saul, even in those years of pursuing after David to murder him. But David forgave Abner for his role in all of those things, and he accepted his repentance. But Joab did not, and his brother Abishai did not. And they were still very bitter over Abner's role in the death of their brother Azahel. And they held that grudge and would not forgive it. And so when Abner was received by David, when he was leaving on this occasion, Abishai and Joab murdered Abner. And so that was in 2 Samuel chapter 23. I mean, 2 Samuel chapter 3. In verse 27 says, when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took Abner aside in the gate to speak with him quietly, and smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Azahel his brother. It says, and afterward, when David heard it, he said, I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever from the blood of Abner the son of Ner. Let it rest on the head of Joab and on all his father's house, and let there not fail from the house of Joab one that hath an issue, or that is a leper, or that leaneth on a staff, or that falleth on the sword, or that lacketh bread. So Joab and Abishai's brother slew Abner, because he had slain their brother Azahel at Gibeon in the battle. So David cursed his own cousin Joab for what he had done in murdering Abner. Abner was not worthy of that death that he died there. He had come to David to help him to become king over all Israel, and David received him. And so Joab committed a murder along with his brother, and so David cursed Joab for his role in that, and that David and his kingdom would be guiltless before the Lord from Abner's blood. Abner's blood was innocent of what they were killing him for. there. So now we're turning our attention to Joab. We see his role in that, as we had all previously looked at that as far as Abishai's involvement with that. Joab, he's listed second in the order of the sons of Zeruiah in the genealogy that we read about in 1 Chronicles chapter 2, 12 through 17. We started there last week. You mentioned Abishai, Joab, Azahel in that order. But Abishai did not become David's captain, though he is listed first in the order, suggested that he was first in the birth order. He was not the one that David had chosen to be captain, although early on, David did rely upon Abishai, who was a mighty man of valor. And we saw he was one of the chief of the valiant men that served under David. But he did not, he was not chosen for that role to be the captain of the host, what we would recognize as the top general of the army. That was not given to Abishai. We looked at one reason why that may have been the case in 1 Samuel 26 that we read from last week. When Abishai was with David and was willing to and tried to entice David to agree to let him murder King Saul. And one, where David had previously had the opportunity to do so and had let it known to all the people that that would be wickedness to lift up one's hand against the Lord's anointed, and David would not do that. Yet even after that, when the second opportunity came, Abishai was still willing to do that and tried to entice David to let him to kill Saul. That may have had a role in Saul's decision not to entrust Abishai with that position as the captain of the host under his reign. We don't have any explicit statements about that other than we know that David was not pleased with what Abishai had done there. But it's in 1 Chronicles chapter 11 where we read about Joab and how he became the occasion and the circumstances upon which he became the captain of the host under King David. So this is right after David was anointed king over all Israel. And the first thing David did was to go against the city of Jebus, Jerusalem, to rid it of the Jebusites that had dwelt there for 500 years throughout the entire time from the conquering of the land of Canaan up until David's reign. They had been allowed to possess that city against what God had commanded when he had told them to destroy those people. And so David immediately remedied this particular situation where they had, this was a symbol of 500 years of disobedience to God's commandment. And he righted this wrong immediately. This is recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 5 also. But we read particularly about Joab in 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. It says, "Then all Israel gathered themselves to David to Hebron, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. And moreover, in time past, even when Saul was king, thou wast he that ledst out and broughtest in Israel. And the Lord thy God said unto thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be ruler over my people Israel. Then therefore came all the elders of Israel to the king to Hebron, and David made a covenant with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel according to the word of the Lord by Samuel." So that it mentions there how they were doing what God had ordained through the prophet Samuel, going back to 1 Samuel 16 when Samuel anointed David to be king over all Israel. And did the children of Israel know that that was what God had ordained? They're even quoting it, what God had said about that. So, of course, that begs the question, well, why did it take them this long to follow through and accept what God, they knew God had said about David being their king? So that was against them, but they are finally agreeing to what God had established, though it was an obvious error on their part to have delayed so long in accepting the will of God. But David was now anointed king over all Israel. And so then verse 4 says, "And David and all Israel went to Jerusalem, which is Jebus, where the Jebusites were, the inhabitants of the land." So we see this is his first action that's recorded as king over all Israel. Verse 5 says, "And the inhabitants of Jebus said to David, Thou shalt not come hither. Nevertheless, David took the castle of Zion, which is the city of David. And David said, Whosoever smiteth the Jebusites first shall be chief and captain. So Joab, the son of Zeruiah, went first up and was chief. And David dwelt in the castle. Therefore they called it the city of David. And he built the city round about, even from Millo round about. And Joab repaired the rest of the city. So David waxed greater and greater, for the Lord of hosts was with him." So we can see Joab displaying his valor there, and he went up first against the Jebusites. Now this is after David had said whoever did so would be captain of the host. Was Joab's zeal here to fulfill the will of God, to remedy this problem where they had not obeyed God's commandment to destroy the Jebusites for so long? Was his zeal to fulfill the will of God in ridding their land of these Jebusites like God had commanded them to so long before? Or was his zeal here for the position that he was going to hold, to be able to hold as captain of the host if he went up first against them? Well, we don't have the answer given directly there, yet the pattern of Joab's life really does answer that question, doesn't it? When do we see Joab zealous for righteousness versus Joab being zealous for Joab and for Joab's position? We'll consider the role that he had in Abner's death before this. Was Abner being received by David when he had served as the captain of Saul's host for so long? Would Abner have been a threat to Joab potentially becoming captain? If Abner is now following David, would it not be natural for Abner to retain that position under David? That very well could have happened. So we know that Joab was holding a grudge for his brother's death at the hands of Abner, even though Abner had warned Asahel twice not to come against him. He did not want to kill him. "How will I hold my head up to your brother Joab?" he had said to Asahel at that time. So we know that was very much a part of what Joab was doing in murdering Abner. Did it also murder a potential rival for the position that Joab coveted to be captain over the host? That's certainly a great possibility there. Joab is made captain of the host under David at that time. One thing that is not recorded in what was a tradition at the time, but a king and his captain would have an oath between them that they would not do harm to one another. So there would be a basis of trust there that the captain would not use his army against the king, and that the king would allow his captain to function as the leader of the army. And we can see evidence that there was such a covenant between David and Joab, and the fact that David himself did not bring the punishment on Joab of death that Joab was worthy of. And we'll see that when Solomon was becoming king, that finally David instructed Solomon to bring about Joab's punishment, his death, that he was worthy of. Why did David get Solomon to do it and not do it himself? And there was a reason for that. And such a covenant not to do so would certainly explain why David instructed Solomon to do that, because Solomon would not be bound by that. And that ends up happening to Joab, to carry out the curse that David put upon him for murdering Abner. Nevertheless, we see that Joab becomes his captain on this occasion. He fulfills what the requirements were. He became the captain of the host, and he was over the host. 1 Chronicles 18, verse 15 describes that as far as the ones who served David during his reign, that Joab was over the host. Also is repeated in 2 Samuel 8, verse 16. That was his position under David. He was the chief of the army, the leader of the army under David's reign. Later, we can see Joab's role in helping David to defeat his enemies in 2 Samuel chapter 10. When David was fighting against those enemies around him, including the Syrians and the Ammonites. There was Joab leading the army against them. Second Samuel chapter 10 records the battle against the Syrians. In verse 7, he sent Joab and all the host of the mighty men, and the Ammonites came out against him and fought against him. So Joab led the army against them, against the Syrians. There, all that in chapter 10 and in chapter 11 of 2 Samuel. And in chapter 12. So you can read in chapters 10, 11, and 12 of 2 Samuel those victories that David had over his enemies that God gave to David to bless David. But when he was blessing David, he was blessing his army in those efforts, and thereby he also blessed Joab, who was the leader of them. But was God rewarding Joab for Joab's sake, or was he using Joab and rewarding David for his faith and obedience to God? We know the answer to that question. It was a reward to David, but Joab did faithfully serve and valiantly serve in that position of David's captain. We know that later in 2 Samuel chapter 11 Joab also had that role in the death of Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba, Uriah the Hittite, who was put at the forefront of the battle and was killed. David had written to Joab to have him placed there so that would happen, and Joab did that. So that was an occasion where the one occasion where David had departed from God's commandment, and Joab had a role in helping David to have Uriah to be killed in the battle. Now, after Absalom, one of the punishments that David had for what he did with Bathsheba was that the sword was not going to depart from his house, and he had division in his family after that. And we see that with his children, and one of his sons committed a rape of his half-sister, who was Absalom's full sister, Tamar, and then Absalom killed his brother for that, and then Absalom fled and was in exile after that, after he had killed his brother. Well, Joab is the one that brought Absalom out of exile and brought him back to Israel. And was the chief one that was involved in doing that to enable there to be reconciliation between David and his son Absalom. In 2 Samuel chapter 14, 1 through 3, it says, "Now Joab the son of Zeruiah perceived that the king's heart was toward Absalom. And Joab sent to Tekoa and fetched thence a wise woman and said unto her, I pray thee, feign thyself to be a mourner and put on now mourning apparel. And anoint that not thyself with oil, but be as a woman that had a long time mourned for the dead, and come to the king and speak on this manner unto him." So Joab put the words in her mouth. And those words were words that were then used to touch David, to have him to receive Absalom to be brought back, which he was, as it's recorded in verses 19 through 24 here in 2 Samuel 14. Now, what did that end up leading to? Well, what should have been something that was very good for David to have an opportunity to be reconciled to his son, Absalom then used that reconciliation to rebel against his father, to try to become king himself in his father's stead, and even plotted to what was going to lead to the murder of his own father so he could become king. And that's in 2 Samuel chapter 18. And there was then a battle between David and his own son Absalom for the throne of Israel. And Joab was the one, of course, as David's captain, that led the army of David against Absalom, who had stolen the hearts of the people of Israel and rebelled against his father. David gave a very explicit commandment not to kill Absalom. In 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 5, the king commanded Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom. And all the people heard when the king gave all the captains charge concerning Absalom. So he commanded them to deal gently with his son. He did not want them to kill his son. Now, was Absalom innocent here? He was not innocent. He was in full rebellion against his father. And if Absalom had succeeded, this would have led to David's death, his own father's death. So David was returning good to his son Absalom for the evil that Absalom was doing against David, his father. When he was giving that commandment for them to deal gently with Absalom, to spare his life, Absalom was worthy of death, but David had commanded them to spare him and to show gentleness towards him. That's not what happened, though. Joab did not do that. And in fact, as we know, Joab killed David's son Absalom. He pursued after Absalom, and Absalom was the one that had all that glorious long hair, and it got caught in the branches. His hair got caught in the branches of a tree, and so then he was suspended by his hair from the branches of the tree. He was in the middle of an oak tree, so then Joab caught him there. And then Joab killed him at that time. And 2 Samuel 18, verse 14, Joab said, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took three darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the yoke. So rather than obey what David had said to deal gently with him, he killed him in that tree. And then when David mourned over him in 2 Samuel chapter 19, Joab was very harsh with David in mourning for his own son Absalom. As he was crying, oh my son Absalom, oh Absalom, my son, through verse 4 of 2 Samuel 19, Joab came into the house to the king in verse 5 and said, thou hast shamed this day the faces of all thy servants which this day have saved thy life, and the lives of thy sons and of thy daughters, and the lives of thy wives, and the lives of thy concubines, and that thou lovest thine enemies and hatest thy friends. For thou hast declared this day that thou regardest neither princes nor servants. For this day I perceive that if Absalom had lived and all we had died this day, then it had pleased thee well. What terrible words to speak to David in his mourning for his son, when the one speaking these harsh words was the one that killed his son when David had commanded him not to do it. This should not have had to have been a choice for David, Absalom versus the lives of all of his servants. So Joab speaks very harshly to David after he himself had killed David's son against what David had commanded him to do. What was the result of this? Well, right after this, verse 11 here in 2 Samuel chapter 19, David removed Joab from his position as captain. In verse 11, King David sent to Zadok, 2 Samuel 19, 11, and King David sent to Zadok and to Abiathar the priest, saying, speaking of the elders of Judah, saying, why are ye last to bring the king back to his house, seeing the speech of all Israel has come to the king, even to his house? Ye are my brethren, ye are my bones and my flesh. Wherefore then are ye the last to bring back the king? And say ye to Amasa, art thou not of my bone and of my flesh? God do so to me, and more also, if thou be not captain of the host before me continually in the room of Joab. That's what David said. Now, Amasa was his first cousin, as you may recall last week when we were looking at that genealogy of Jesse, David's father. And in 1 Chronicles 2, verses 12 through 17, it mentioned his sisters, Zeruiah and Abigail. Well, his sister Zeruiah was the mother of Abishai, Joab, and Azahel. Abigail, the sister of Jesse, which would be one of David's other aunts, was the mother of Amasa, who was the one that served as the captain for Absalom when he was rebelling against David. Well, David, instead of having Amasa killed for his role in helping Absalom against him, appointed his cousin Amasa to be the new captain in place of Joab. Well, look at the timing of it. Why? Well, Joab had just killed Absalom, David's son, when David had told him not to deal gently with him and not to do him harm. And so David removed Joab from his position. Well, of course, Amasa is Joab's cousin also, but he is now put in Joab's place. So what is Joab going to do about that? Joab is going to do what Joab does. In 2 Samuel chapter 20, verses 8 through 13, he's going to murder his cousin, Amasa, the one that David has replaced him with. 2 Samuel chapter 20, in verses 8 through 13, says, "And when they were at the great stone which is in Gibeon, Amasa went before them." Now it's interesting, that's the same place where Azahel had been killed by Abner. But it says, "Amasa went before them, and Joab's garment that he had put on was girded unto him, and upon it a girdle with a sword fastened upon his loins and the sheath thereof. And as he went forth, it fell out. And Joab said to Amasa, 'Art thou in health, my brother?' And Joab took Amasa by the beard with the right hand to kiss him, but Amasa took no heed to the sword that was in Joab's hand. So he smote him therewith in the fifth rib and shed out his bowels to the ground and struck him not again, and he died. So Joab and Abishai his brother pursued after Sheba, the son of Bichri. And one of Joab's men stood before him and said, 'He that favoreth Joab and he that is for David, let him go after Joab.' And Amasa wallowed in blood in the midst of the highway. And when the men saw that all the people stood still, he removed Amasa out of the highway into the field and cast a cloth upon him. And when he saw that everyone that came by him stood still. And when he was removed out of the highway, all the people went on after Joab to pursue after Sheba, the son of Bichri." So that's what Joab did to Amasa. And what had Amasa done to Joab? Well, nothing. But he was put in Joab's position that Joab was removed from. And why? Because Joab had killed David's son against what David commanded. So here's a man that killed Abner, the captain of the Lord's host under King Saul, when Abner had repented and turned to David and was received of David. And Joab murdered him for his brother's sake, even though his brother did not take heed to Abner's warnings. And it also, of course, conveniently removed a potential rival to the position that Joab sought to be David's captain. And then when he kills David's son, Absalom, and now he kills his cousin Amasa that David put in Joab's position as captain. Well, when David was on the brink of death, he instructed his son Solomon what to do about Joab for all of this wickedness that he had committed. 1 Kings chapter 2, as we're nearing close here, verses 5 and 6, 1 Kings 2, 5 and 6. This is Solomon, David's instructions to his son Solomon concerning Joab. He says, "Moreover, thou knowest also what Joab the son of Zeruiah did to me, and what he did to the two captains of the host of Israel, unto Abner the son of Ner, and unto Amasa the son of Jether, whom he slew and shed the blood of war in peace, and put the blood of war upon his girdle that was about his loins, and in his shoes that were on his feet. Do therefore according to thy wisdom, and let not his forehead go down to the grave in peace." Then in verse 31, the king said to him, Solomon, to Joab, David to Solomon, he says, "Do as he has said and fall upon him and bury him." Actually, this was to Solomon's instructions to Benaiah, that he would take away the innocent blood that Joab shed from David and from the house of his father. So those were Solomon's instructions. Then in verses 28 through 35, they were carried out. It says, "Then tidings came to Joab, for Joab had turned after Adonijah, though he turned not after Absalom. And Joab fled into the tabernacle of the Lord and caught hold on the horns of the altar. And it was told King Solomon that Joab was fled into the tabernacle of the Lord, and behold, he is by the altar. Then Solomon sent Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, saying, 'Go fall upon him.' And Benaiah came to the tabernacle of the Lord and said unto him, 'Thus saith the king, come forth.' And he said, "Nay, but I will die here." And Benaiah brought the king word again, saying, "Thus said Joab, and thus he answered me." And the king said unto him, "Do as he hath said, and fall upon him, and bury him, that thou mayest take away the innocent blood which Joab shed for me and from the house of my father. And the Lord shall return his blood upon his own head, who fell upon two men more righteous and better than he, and slew them with the sword, my father David not knowing thereof, to wit, Abner, the son of Ner, captain of the host of Israel, and Amasa, the son of Jether, captain of the host of Judah. Their blood shall therefore be upon the head of Joab, and upon the head of his seed forever. But upon David, and upon his seed, and upon his house, and upon his throne, there shall be peace forever from the Lord." So Benaiah the son of Jehoiada went up and fell upon him and slew him, and he was buried in his own house in the wilderness. And the king put Benaiah the son of Jehoiada in his room over the host, and Zadok the priest did the king put in the room of Abiathar. This reminds us of what Jesus said in Matthew 26, 51 and 52 to Peter when Peter struck off Malchus's ear. Jesus said to Peter, "Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword." Now, did Joab die as he had made others die by the sword? What he had done to others was rendered upon his own head. That curse that David put upon him came to pass upon Joab. It's interesting to see he mentions what Joab did in murdering the two captains, Abner and Amasa. He doesn't mention Absalom in that. Well, Absalom's blood wasn't innocent, but it was still wrong for Joab to do that when he went against the king's commandment to show gentleness to Absalom. Joab was a murderer, and he was willing to murder even the innocent for the reasons that he had. He was a wicked man, and he was worthy of the curse that he received for his wickedness. And he was worthy of the death that he died by the sword. He stands as a one of the examples of wickedness and God's judgment upon the wicked, and that God will judge the wicked and judge men according to as they have done. And as Joab had not shown mercy to others, he didn't receive mercy in the end himself. Of course, more importantly, we can see what Joab would be facing as far as his eternity, and how sad it is that he had one of the most righteous men that ever lived as his cousin and the one that was the king of Israel through his life, that he had the great privilege of serving as his captain. And he could see David and David's righteousness on a daily basis, and had that example before him. And yet, in spite of having a man after God's own heart to be his cousin and his master to serve throughout his life, he still chose wickedness and received in the end that judgment that he was worthy of. But we don't have to receive that kind of judgment if we will take heed to ourselves and remember what the Lord has commanded us all to do. And we all have the opportunity for eternal life by serving Jesus Christ, God's Son. And this is an opportunity for you this morning. If you are here and are not yet a follower of Christ, we're encouraging you at this time to come forward and repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, if that is your need this morning. If you are a member of the Lord's body and need to return to Him, this is an opportunity for you also. Anyone that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation, please come now while we stand together and sing.